When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What it is, welcome to another exciting adventure of Tyrus and Temp. This is a special edition called Three Wise Men with a question mark, explanation mark. I have assembled some great minds like myself from across the country, my NWA brethren, former, and I'm still, it's hard to say, and I apologize, but actually, both of you are formers. I'm the only reigning, defended, undefeated, undisputed NWA World Television Champion. That's me, Tyrus. And then I have my, I guess we're good friends sometimes, as long as our interests don't cross. Final form, Chris Adonis. And he recently,
what's up, man?
He recently lost his championship, although under suspicious circumstances. And then, of course, my good brother, my cousin, and again, as long as his interests don't cross mine, former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the great Trevor Murdoch. What it is, fellas?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. I know it's a little hard to get that out of your mouth. You know what I'm saying? But I'm glad you got me here.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm glad we were able to get it.
You know, I was just thinking about that before we went on air today. I mean, we were all riding high. All champions. Now look at that. You are the last man standing, Tyrus. You're the last man with a championship. Trevor and me are devastated, but you know, we're still champions in my eyes, I think.
I think for the purpose of this, we are all still champions. Although I'm the only one who's actually sitting here with one in his hand, but that's my story.
Dig it.
Yeah,
I love all the daggers he throws as he adds a compliment to you. There's just a little dagger sticks right under there.
Hey, listen, I support my friends and family members, even when they're failures. I stand behind them 6 feet distance, not just for the CDC, just so I don't have to catch you when you fall again. But I am there for you guys, and I care about you guys. And I'm exploiting you to do my work today so I can get a paycheck at your expense. And I recognize that, and I thank you. I appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy schedule. Now, for the four people listening in the world who don't know who you are, just a little bit of background. Final form Adonis, we'll start with you because you were not always final form Adonis. Now, I'm just going to add this. You and I met in a different walk of life as civilians. We worked together at a little chop shop bar restaurant called Salo Ranch in Van Nuys, California. Is that the closest city or is it? Yeah.
Burbank, Hollywood. Burbank. Oh, the Studio City one.
Yeah, Studio City. Yeah, Studio City.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that was something. We go back all the way. We always kind of think about that. It's just a trip that we met there before we ever broke into wrestling. And look at us now.
Yep. And then you were young, though. I mean, you both have unbelievable stories on how you guys got into the wrestling business. And Adonis, you were a baby. I mean, literally a baby. I think you were bouncing clubs at what, 17, 18?
Yeah, you know, I started working out like crazy once I decided I wanted to be a pro wrestler around like the age of 15 or 16. And then like by the time I got to 18, I just looked much older than I actually was. So that's why I was bouncing in clubs already. I think when you saw me, I might have only been 17. It wasn't even.
Yeah, you were a baby. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, I got signed around 18 years old and was in OVW by the age of 19. So, and then, you know, I had met you before that, and then I met Trevor actually shortly into my maybe first year in WWE on television, I believe.
Yeah, you were real fresh, bro. That the Masterpiece gimmick was on fire. I remember just being a young guy coming out there and just like, Jesus, he looked like $1 million.
Yeah, he was, I use the term baby, but he was a beast. And when the owner of the company, the great Vince McMahon, says, you are a masterpiece, he's seen some specimens. So the nickname fit. Sometimes it doesn't, but in your case, it did. And then Trevor is, I would literally call him the working man's wrestler. Now, you studied under the tutelage of the immortal, the great Harley Race. And you have another distinction to which I can't think of anybody from our era that has ever done this. You never went to developmental. You literally walked off the street and went straight to TV, which is unheard of in our time. Because usually guys, when you get signed, I got signed, Chris got signed by WWE, you go to developmental. And then basically you fight through crabs in a bucket. And then they sift through the top guys, and then you end up being the ones going on TV, where you never, if memory serves, you were never in developmental, correct?
I couldn't tell you what the parking lot looked like, to be honest with you. Like, no, I got lucky in the aspect of, you know, when they say right time, right place, that's all that happened to me. I got a chance to do one of my 8 or 9 tryouts, and I was going back and forth to Japan. And I really wasn't expecting to get a job, but this was when, you know, I don't know if we want to get controversial, you know, Chris Benoit was there. And
hey, I was a Chris Benoit guy. I mean, up until the tragedy, no one knew. We all loved him. So, yeah.
Well, remember when he would do his 500 squats before each match as a warm up? Well, I knew he was a big, you know, Japan fan, and I'd just gotten out of spending 6 months in the dojo. So I started doing some stretches to get his attention, which did got a conversation going with him. And he went and spoke to Johnny Ace and got me a match that night. And after all those years of working hard, I'd finally gotten someone's attention and literally got offered a job that night, was supposed to go to developmental. A week later, they said, we're going to tag you with this guy named Lance Cade, see what you guys look like. And 1 weekend later, there's, you know, I think 5 weeks later, we were doing vignettes. And I think 4 weeks after that, we were world tag team champion.
So, I mean, that is, I hate to use the word Cinderella story, but it wasn't, because you worked. And honestly, you trained under Harley Race. I don't know what developmental really could have done for you.
He was a guy that held everybody to his standard. You know what I mean? My first 3 months there, I got sick every single day. And for him, he was smoking a cigarette while we're doing training and we're sucking in all this. And he's laughing, you know, and Chris, you've been around him. You smoking the cigarette around everybody. We're doing squats, push-ups, jumping jacks. And he's, you know, smoking in the training area. But who's going to argue with him? Every wrestler I've ever spoke to has pointed to him as being the man, him being the toughest guy.
Total badass. Like a kind badass, though. You know what I mean? Like, my experiences of him was he was very kind and so nice to me, but you still knew, and you could tell that this dude was just a total badass. So it was like, I don't know. That was my experience. I just thought he was a total, like, I don't know. He was one of the best experiences I had in the wrestling business. I know, Trev, you had a lot more, obviously, than me, but I spent a little time over in WLW. He had me be the champion and stay with him and BJ. And it was definitely a huge education for me, even just the few times I came out.
He was the epitome of someone who didn't have to tell you he was a badass. You just looked at him and knew. You know what I mean? That aura, that real I don't know. It's kind of a sixth sense. I don't know.
Have you ever met anyone who told you they were badass and they actually were? Here's my ass-kicking business card, sir. And everyone's like, look at this guy's resume. He's 47-0 in bar fights. Like, we gotta stay out of this guy's. He keeps stats. He's so good, he keeps stats.
Yes.
You can't call yourself a badass, and you can't call yourself the GOAT. Those are two things
And you also can't tell everyone you're good looking. That's another thing I find that when people.
Well, I don't know.
Chris, that's a hint.
Well, Chris Masters.
Yeah.
The Adonis final form. I mean,
well, honestly, the nicknames kind of said it all. You know, Trevor and I, we chose a more humble path. I mean, we are literally 5 or 6 sit-ups away from having abs if we so choose to. But, you know, we just keep ourselves humbled, and, you know, and guys like you are a little more frail, you know, in. We don't want you guys to feel upset.
No. So, no, you know, I wouldn't say frail. I'd say high maintenance.
Yeah. That's a lot of baby. You use things like baby oil, and you know, and you got
physique
like,
enhancer, my friend.
It's yes,
physique enhancer.
Yeah, there you go.
What I like to tell everybody, God gave me a body to work, boys. That's how it works around here.
Yeah, and I try to work as less as possible now as I get wiser. But you know, my Harley story is not. Great. He basically fired on me in the hallway. He gave me a headbutt, and he said, "Kid, I can make money with you. We could tour. I'd put me over every night." It's like, I'm with it. Yes, sir.
Did that really happen?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He walked out. Holy I was in God. The hallway, and I stuck my hand out, and I was like, "Mr. Race, it's an honor and a pleasure to meet you." He gave me a man shake. It wasn't that working brother thing I hate with the 3 fingertips. And then as I went,
no, nobody does that. Hold on, nobody does that anymore. Let's clarify. Yeah. If anybody does do that, that they don't really get it. You know what I mean? Like, they're not in the brotherhood.
Yeah, I always thought they had a hand disease.
You guys have all.
Do you need to elaborate on what that is? You might want to, just for anybody listening in pro wrestling. We have this very light handshake. You want to actually tell them, Tyrus?
Because I have the microphone. So basically, in the kayfabe world, is when you meet another wrestler and you shake hands, the lighter the handshake means how he works. I work light, brother. I'm a worker. So it's like 3 fingers instead of a full handshake. But it's horrible if you go in for a regular handshake and it's like you're these 3 little claw fingers just kind of caress. It's a horrible experience. I don't like
it. It's the most uncomfortable thing in the world, bro.
Yeah, it's like a man walking up to you and like blowing in your eye. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way I can describe it. You want it over. You don't know why it happened. So I always just went in for real handshakes. I could not stand that. I could not stand that. I'm a worker, brother, you know?
It's just weird. It really is.
Yeah, so for those of you at home, we do full handshakes on here. In the NWA, you know, we're a full handshake company. That's for sure, 100%.
Handshakes.
Yeah, handshakes go a long way. And if you don't want to shake hands, we're good with a fist pump or a head nod. But, yeah, I shook hands with him, and as I went to let go, he held on. And I was like, oh, stop. And then it came, boom.
Yes.
The headbutt. I sold it. And then he's like,
we could
have made some money. I said, you know, it's crazy because I got that a lot. The only one was Dory Funk Jr. said, "Hey, Funkasaurus, you owe me some money for the name." And I said,
"Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's, Funk, I didn't think about it." He's like, It's all right. Looks good on you." So I always did well with the old school guys, the guys, the Hacksaw Jim Duggins, the guys who did the work, the King Hakus, the guys who didn't always get all the bright lights, although Harley was the man. If you look at some of his stuff from the 70s, I mean, he was pimped out. I mean, he definitely had some brother influences because his afro was on point. And some of his outfits,
the
color collages, only he could rock green and yellow and make it look good. With
and with the chops, too.
He had the chops. He screamed Very Cadillac. Important. He screamed Cadillac. Like, he was driving a Cadillac. You can't have chops and afro like that and not be driving a Cadillac. I mean,
and he would tell you, "I got a new one every single year, Trevor."
Yeah. And that's how we talked.
All I keep thinking is, thank goodness you sold for him. You know what I mean? Like, they're very important.
Yeah, no. It's because if you don't sell, it's going to last longer. Yeah. You know, and then the worst part is you're going to get stiffed. And then when someone sees you, they're going to go, "Hey, that kid over there is a he can't."
That's the part I'm most worried about. Yeah, I just want to impress him with my selling that.
So he could have
my high opinion and, you know, not say anything bad.
The one thing you're forgetting, though, is that he had Tyrus by the grip. And if you've ever shook Harley Race's hand, that was like a vice-like grip that he didn't want. If he didn't want to let you go, you weren't going anywhere.
No, and I recognized, because I crush apples, so I recognize grip strength when I see it. And he was there. He had that, and he had the old man strength, which I'm excited in the next few years. I'm hoping my old man strength comes in, and I can't wait to try it out. So I'm really excited about that. But so, yeah, we all have extensive backgrounds, and we all know our wrestling history, which I think is important today. And how we all kind of came in the NWA together has really just been a fun thing. It's one of people always talk about, you know, we don't talk about matches and all that kind of stuff, but I just, and one of the reasons why we're doing this here is I just love our locker room. I think we have the most fun, just boys get to be boys locker room out of any company. They might have brighter lights, better TV deals, but our locker room is the best. And, you know, I think that's, I don't think I'm alone with that one.
I totally agree with you 100%, bro. One of the things that what makes our locker room great, and it's going to sound bad from the outside, is there's a lot of wounded soldiers in that locker room.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of an amazing, talented guys that if somebody would have just maybe pulled the trigger or some sort of, you know, guys, we've all been in the business, and they're probably going to have to, they're going to have to edit this out. But like, we've dealt with the horse that stopped us from getting to that next level. And our locker room is full of those guys, and they all care about each other, and they all
bunch of has-beens, never was's, should have been's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just killing.
No, I think, you know, and I just to kind of follow up on that is I think we all got chips on our shoulders. You know what I mean? And we all got, but we all also were, you know, we're all rowing in the same direction as far as what we believe pro wrestling, how it should be presented. And it's not that, you know, NWA, a lot of people think old school, but I think the product that we have is very contemporary. So you got a lot of guys who are coming into their own, man. Think about the territories. People didn't figure out who they were until sometimes 8, 10, 12 15. Years. Yeah, so like really there's a bunch of guys who are just figuring out kind of really who they are. And WWE, for whatever reason, you know, they either slipped through the cracks or they gave up on us or whatever everybody's individual story is. But and I think that's what's showing in some of the product, and it's going to gather us a lot of viewership as we go forward here.
You know,
can I expel on that
too? Yeah, go, please.
If we look back at WWE, the stars that they relied on, the guys that were super over, they were in their 30s. They traveled the world. They had experienced something. And those are the guys that were able to go out there and make magic with anybody. John Cena is a prime example of going in there with guys who know how to work and being able to come out being just as good as they are.
Yeah, you know, and I always think of two people. Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff used to say to me, he said, it takes 150 matches before you even figure out how to breathe. And I never understood that, but I see it sometimes in the ring. And then Steven Regal would always say he hated TV, what TV's done to wrestling, because TV's so fast and guys never have time to learn. So it's just so fast. He's
you need like, time. You know, have time. It takes years to learn emotional investment.
Yeah, it's like kind of like you go into a karate class and you have to be a black belt in 4 days. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, and that's pretty much, and that's TV, and that's the way the world is now. And does it hurt the product? Sure, but at the same time, the world changes.
I think that's what helped make us stand out now, though.
Yeah,
like I feel like we're the most in your face product. Like a fan can sit down and be like and see everything we're doing, the contact that we're making. I know there's several gentlemen out there that are probably wishing they wouldn't have wrestled me because of the product we're delivering on NWA, man. Like that's why I think we're going to stand out from everybody else.
You know what else is the fact, and it's a bunch of one-upsmanship. Like all we do is compete with each other in a healthy way. It's like Trevor does a promo, he'll walk through, and I'm like, game on, you know?
I think that's the best part, right? Like, is that, like, everybody gives feedback to each other, too. It's like, we're all wanting everybody to do as good as they can, and that's kind of a nurturing environment. I mean, and it's very important that it's still competitive, because
Trevor gets on the mic, and I'm watching him, and of course, I want him to do well, and then I'm like, okay, oh, all right, and then as he walks by, I'm like, game on. You know, Masters comes in. Oh, okay. Game on. Let's go there. Let's see who gets the game ball for the day. And
there's a lot of hold my beer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you. Although, hands down, the best photograph in the history of our time in the NWA is when Trevor won the championship and is sitting in his gear with a beer in his hand, and it's in black and white. And truly, if I wasn't had the ego that I have, that picture would be up in my office, because it's truly one of my, like, that is the realest picture ever, you know. And it wasn't planned. The guy just took it, you know, so it was great.
Hold on to your steering wheels, folks. We'll be right back after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You know, speaking of our locker room, we just don't talk about wrestling in our locker room. We talk about everything under the sun, and everyone's a leading expert on nothing. But we all have something to say, and we rally around each other because it is a tough business. So one of the things I wanted to show today, because the reason why this isn't called the three cool guys from the NWA, is this is called three wise men. So, but we had to talk about who we are because this is our first episode. But we're going to incorporate what I do a little bit with Fox is we cover stories. And I sent you guys two stories to get your expert opinion. And literally, we have covered all the bases. Chris is in California. Trevor is in, where are you at this week?
I'm in Missouri. I'm actually
He's in Missouri. He's in Missouri in the Midwest. Should have been Nebraska, but I'm not judging. I'm in New York, and it should have been Boston, but I'm in New York. So, all right. So I'm going to read the story. This is how this works. I'm going to read this story, and then you guys are going to give your expert opinions on whether this is a real story, fake story, or what they could do to prove, or you add your insight so the viewers can better digest the knowledge in which we're going to spew. We're showing them that, and this might be a mistake on my part, because up to now, I've been the unicorn. So I'm not sure if this is a good move for me or not, you know, because I don't want to hear, well, we were going to book you, but apparently Adonis is available and Trevor's available. And then, of course, you know, then of course, game on. Mean Girls stuff starts happening. All right. All right. I'm going to go with the monkey one first. So, see, once we get successful, I'll have an actual producer to read this stuff. But, you know, we're not there yet. So, the story is chimps off the old block. Spider monkeys regularly eat fruit containing alcohol. Study finds shedding light on why we have a taste for booze. Biologists from UC Berkeley collected fruit that had been eaten and discarded. They were collected from black-handed spider monkeys. What? On the island in Panama. They discovered that the fruit typically had an alcohol concentration of 1% or 2%. Trevor, what's beer? Isn't that...
Beer is usually 2.5.
Okay, so basically they're having a can of beer. All right.
Yeah.
The new study supports the drunken monkey hypothesis and increases our understanding of how the love of alcohol first formed in the human brains. Okay. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, that's you're in my opinion, you're stretching a little bit. Like,
I mean, is this making a bigger argument? Is this going into a bigger argument of like evolution?
Yes, thank you. Yes, final form. Yeah. Basically, they're saying that in our family tree, if you believe in evolution, and I know it's just the theory, but it kind of sticks. But that our ancestors came from the same path. And since they're seeing it in monkeys now, then there's a good chance that our ancestors also looked for fruit to get drunk. So basically they're saying that we have been alcoholics since the beginning of time is what I'm gathering from that. But it's a lot of pressure being a monkey in a tree. You got to worry about trying to eat you all the time. I'd want a beer or two every now and again.
Well, on top, I think it's not so much that we're alcoholics. It's just the plain fact that, like, even though they're animals, just like humans, we all need to take a break for a minute and chill out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's 2%. It's not like, you know, it's not like they're doing shots. You know, I'm sure there's that one monkey. But here's the thing about drunk monkeys.
You get that one monkey
who goes too hard in the paint. He walks off in the jungle, gets eaten. You know what I'm saying? There ain't no DUI. So
that must be that's the uncle, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know that guy. He's just, they're like, just have one fruit, hey, look, Charles, and you don't tell me what to do. I have a prehensile tail. I'm still a man, Gee.
Let me just say this. Hey, dude, I think you guys have been to Australia. I mean, you guys have seen how the koalas, I forgot what the plant it is.
Eucalyptus?
That's it. And they get totally stoned off this plant. So I completely believe that these spider monkeys are consuming the plant and probably enjoying the effects. But to, you know, to link that in terms of evolution to us, and that just feels like a bit of a reach to me. You know what I mean? But I definitely believe the spider monkeys like getting drunk.
Or a bit of a jump. Why not, right? You know what I'm saying? Because monkeys jump.
Well, let me ask you a question. If it was just a monkey thing, wouldn't all monkeys go, like, quote unquote, go after that? Like,
you know what? That's a great point, cousin, because I think it's just circumstance. They're in it. They just happen to be in their environment. The fruit ferments when it's in the sun on the tree too long. And then they just like it better because it has more sugar, which gives them more energy. So I think it's more of a less than them. Like, they go to a tree and one goes, no, yeah, yet, brother. It hasn't fermented yet. Hold off, man. Hold off, man. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to wait. Is it ready? Check it. Nah, it's not ready, dog. We got to wait another day or two. Then we can
pour. Well, then my next question is, somebody had to get, if they got they got urine from the monkeys, is that was, how, like, how did they get the sample to find out?
I think they pulled them over from a tree and had them take a walk a line or something.
I have this image of this guy in like a Steve Irwin outfit and a pea cup going, here, monkey, yeah, come here, running around.
Or a breathalyzer. How do you hold a spider monkey down? Get a breathalyzer.
Well, we have seen Planet of the Apes. Let's hope it's nothing like that. Let's hope they're not abducting the spider monkeys and then taking them back to some lab
and testing
their pea and then giving them some kind of super potion where they come out and take over the city. Like, I do not want to live that movie.
No. You know what? I'm trying to think. Can you detect alcohol from... I don't have an expert, but peeing in a cup I thought was for like weed and stuff. I didn't know that if you pee in a cup, they could check it and be like, oh, this man has beer in his system.
That's a really good question.
Gentlemen, I can actually answer that question.
Well, thank you.
A man of the beverage. You can, as long as it's within like 12 hours, yeah, that's, you know, they can test it. It's all just like anything else. It's a time limit because alcohol runs through your system faster than any other intoxicant, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Imagine you're urinating alcohol. I mean, that's straight up alcohol going right through you. So yeah.
Well, that would explain why you break the seal sometimes. Usually me, it's after the 15th or 16th beer where I break the seal and then it's all over after that. The night's over after that because you're getting up every 5 minutes once it goes down. It's like,
so don't break the seal.
No.
Can I ask another question? Like, of this article, like, who was sitting around thinking, you know what, let's figure out if these monkeys are getting hammered?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think it was one or two things. One, they were in Panama on a really boring biological assignment. Like, they had to study the mating habits of caterpillars and moths or something. You know what I'm saying? And like, he's sitting there and the monkeys are staring at him, judging him. And then he noticed that a couple of the monkeys were a little more casual than the other ones because they were eating this fruit off the ground and they're sitting on.
He looks like he's having a good time.
Yeah, like, hey. And then the monkey like hits on him or, you know, like, hey, sir, are you OK? And his monkey call was off. You know, he sounded a little drunk, a little tipsy. If you look at the pictures in the article, they're all leaning against a tree. You know what I'm saying? Got their legs up. So they're you know, they're cat calling him and they're a little drunk. He's like, I think these monkeys are drunk. And then his English guy, scientist, is like, by God, I think you're onto something, Smithers. And then they call the institution. And next thing you know, they're no longer watching caterpillars hump in the jungle. And they're watching monkeys living their best life, getting faded.
Jealous.
You know?
Jealous.
Jealous. And you know they tried the fruit. You know they did.
Oh, for sure.
You know they did.
You have to. Yeah. You have to. Of course.
Because you get a couple guys from the south down there, you're going to mess around and have some good moonshine.
That's where it was headed, right? I used the words right out of my mouth, man.
Monkey shine.
Yeah, but here's the real crime is I bet you that's probably tax money that's being spent on that type of research.
I knew you would show up. I knew you would show up. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's the type of stuff that we get. I know that's Panama, but that's the type of stuff people get mad at out here because they take our tax money and they spend it on stupid research like this.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, is any of our lives changed differently that we know that monkeys like to get up on the weekend? Does anyone?
Not even close.
No.
I laughed a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it did put a little joy in my heart. And I thought maybe I could use that as an excuse sometimes. What happened? How many beers do you have? I didn't have any beer, but I did have an aged orange. So I'm feeling a little feeling a little tipsy, darling, but I was being healthy. So I don't know what that could be.
Don't you dare touch that dial. And if you do have a dial, you need an upgrade. We'll be right back.
All right. So our next story is, and if you thought this one was crazy,
the monkey's got nothing on this one.
Boy, I just I look at the picture and I go, there's a lot going on in this picture. Demi Lovato says it's derogatory to call extraterrestrials aliens. That's just so woke. Demi Lovato is promoting a new show, Unidentified with Demi Lovato. I think we've identified you. Which explores UFOs. Lovato said they don't like the term alien as it's derogatory towards anything. So they, these. Okay. Lovato said they will never be, she will never have a song entitled Aliens despite thinking it's a cool idea. So she has said that she believes it's derogatory to call them extraterrestrials or aliens. So, and then the interviewer got cocky and asked her if she would ever release a song titled Aliens, to which the star said no for very specific reasons, Trevor.
Specific.
Yeah. She is a believer in extraterrestrial life, and
apparently she's spoken to them.
Oh, yeah.
She's spoken to them because she knows that they don't like to be referred to like that. So.
Yeah, and they, you know, when you're dealing with songs about beings from another planet or in space, the song would definitely not be called Aliens. My fans should know that I do not call them aliens because alien is a derogatory term for anything, even extraterrestrials, which is why I call them ET. So I think it's important for the rest of this conversation, we do not use the A word. Okay, guys? Yes. Lovato was asked again if a song like this could be in the cards for them, but the singer said no. They were not considering the idea, but fast on their feet. Anything could change. And,
my brain pauses when I read this kind or hear this kind of stuff, man, because there are so many more important things in the world to talk about than aliens.
Watch your mouth, Trevor.
I live in the ET, sir. I don't know. Us normal folks around here.
Yeah, because Chris Masters is actually speaking. Adonis is actually speaking in alien terminology right now. Oh, damn it. Sorry. God.
ET. Listen. This is so ludicrous that it has to be exactly what you said. There has to be some kind of woke contest that we don't know about, and she's going for the supreme wokeness of the
final
woke
form
award or
woke.
Something like that. Yeah, like the highest level of woke, because this is just so ridiculous. Like, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, let's just say for this argument, Trevor, Adon, let's just say this is real. She was eating a vegan sandwich, sipping on the tears of other people's accomplishments, and ET extraterrestrial shows up. Here you are with this supreme being, with all the knowledge of the universe and the world, and the first question you ask is, what do you identify as? What would you prefer to be called? Is alien? Damn it. Sorry. Are you an alien? And the alien goes, ma'am, how dare you? I do not travel halfway parsecs through the galaxy to be called an alien. Oh, hell no. I'm an extraterrestrial. I'm an ET. So you need to take your terminology. You know what? We're done. Pack it up. No, you know what? You're not getting examined now. You blew it. No tag behind your ear. Wrap it up, fellas. She's using the A word. Oh, hell no. Really? That's the question you ask? For real?
Let's be honest, though. Where does this really originate from? It really comes from the fact that the term illegal aliens, I think. That's the origin, and now they are associating anything that has that reference in it as a negative term. I mean, that's the only thing I can, you know, joking aside, come up with in terms of why she would make this connection, or other than it being a woke contest.
So words matter even in space.
Well, no, I know why. This girl's an attention seeker. That's what it all comes down to. It's like, what can I say the weirdest, most outrageous, stupidest shit possible that gets people's attention?
Yeah, we're real talking news, about it.
Yeah, real news isn't exciting for anybody anymore. We're talking about Demi Lovato talking about aliens, man, and people are interested in that. Like, that's crazy, man. That's, you know, ludicrous.
I just feel, if there was ever a term for illegal alien, and I'm saying alien, screw it, that would be it. You're from another planet, standing in America, you're an illegal alien. You don't have citizenship. So if I'm going to give somebody, I'm going to give somebody dirt from, like, hey, you're from a different country and you're coming over here and you're an illegal alien if you didn't do immigration properly. If you're going to be in this country, you got to take the rap. Yes, you're an illegal alien right now, sir. I don't care how cool your UFO is. Is it registered? What DMV did you register it with? Like, if it's not, you need to get a citation and a ticket. I can't drive without a registered vehicle in this country. Why should an alien? So
you're very right.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like she's one of those people that, like, thinks she's cool with the aliens, but they're not cool with her. You know, y'all been around that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's kind of like when you do an autograph signing and the person they assign you. And yes, like somebody will come over and they'll be like, hey, Trevor, excuse me. No. He prefers to be called Mr. Murdoch. And you're like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just involve themselves in the conversation. And I'm trying to think of a wrestler who's like that.
The aliens would be annoyed with her.
It just kind of jumps in all the time when it's like not needed. Oh, Aaron Idol. That's who it is. Like, we'll be talking and then Idol will just jump in and just completely change the conversation to fit his needs, you know, or he tries to, like, every time I say something, he thinks he needs to have a black dictionary to explain to Trevor what I'm saying. I'm like, bro, I don't need a translator.
That's,
you know, this will be good too. The reason why I'm saying Aaron's name right now is because he's going to lie to us and say he listened to this and he loved it. So,
perfect.
So when we ask him at the next taping, and he says he loved it, we're like, "What's your favorite part?" And he's gonna say, "Well, everything. You know, you guys had great chemistry, and I just really enjoyed it. Even the part where we called you a liar." And he'll go, "What?"
Yeah, even the part where I said I despise Aaron.
Yeah, you know, Trevor punched him for real. I mean, that was a great punch. He had it coming. We all cheered in the back.
Listen, we all have our moments, gentlemen. I was just trying to do one for the boys, you know.
And you did. Well played.
No. You got to tell the truth. That guy's amazing, man.
He's amazing if he doesn't lie about listening to this podcast. Now,
to be fair, we've all been punched by Trevor anyway, so let's,
you know. Well, just as long as Adonis don't punch you in the gut. Because if you get that gut shot, I'm not kicking out.
Or an elbow.
Yeah, I'm not getting out.
Wait, what about that back chop or stomach chop, right?
Yeah.
You are correct. I apologize. I do it in the ring right before I do it.
That's just disrespectful.
Yeah, he's I avoid you both in battle royals like the plague.
Only a friend will look at you and go, I am so sorry for this, man.
Yeah, it will heal.
Knock the snot out of you.
Yeah. I mean, probably the worst thing I ever did in the ring was Fred. And when Titus and Fred were tagging together and he was on the wrong side of a clothesline and I wasn't putting up the wrong arm. So I just swung an elbow and just the lights went out real quick. I was like, man. My bad. Sure. I'll just cover now. I don't need to hit a finish. It's cool. we'll get it back, man. Hey, catering on me, bro. What you want? I'll get you. You want some ice cream?
That reminds me of a Haku story, man. Family to you, Mr. Tyrus. Had a young man he was wrestling and was talking too much to Mr. Haku in the ring. And out of nowhere, Haku breaks character. And of course, he's got locker room standing room only. You know,
yeah,
while
yeah, he's royalty, not just the king thing.
Yes, yeah. All the boys want to watch what he's doing, and he breaks character, and he yells, you know, they're going to have to edit this out, but I'll do it myself. Shut the up, and smacks the out of this guy, and at that moment, you realized everything got real.
Yeah, and everything got real quiet. Cool.
Yes.
Everyone adjusts their shirt. Like,
sounds a lot like the Oscars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Except, Chris wouldn't have stood there. He would have went down. He would have went down, and he would stay down and curl up in the fetal position and hope that it was over. He would do his best, baby.
He'd be done.
Yeah, you're done. You don't. But
on a side note, I think Chris Rock handled that very well.
Oh yeah, he's an OG for that one. Because you know why? You know why we all think he handled it great? Because he had to keep working. I'm not losing my job. He had a show to do.
Think about how much he could have killed Will Smith in that moment. And he even had a moment.
Oh, where he caught himself.
He thought about it. He could have destroyed Will Smith. But like Chris Rock, man, he's gold. He handled it. He could have killed him. It's okay that he didn't. He didn't even sell the shot. So
no, which is even bigger. But yeah, because he could have. Because once Will went and sat down, was he going to walk back up again?
To be honest with you, the way he handled it made himself look better than going over there and knocking the crap out of him, or you know what I mean, or just
firing on him and hitting him with some real truths. But
hey,
you know what it was though? I it was like a real life heel turn. Watching this baby face Will Smith, he goes up there and he slaps Chris Rock.
Ricky Steamboat.
It was a straight up heel. And then the whole family basically turned heel that night. It was just unbelievable. And even finished it up with a promo at the end that even dug it deeper. So,
I got to be honest. I think Jada's always been the heel. I think she's always been the J.J. Dillon, just trying to turn everybody. And she got it. Yeah. And I compared it to like Ricky Steamboat turning heel. We just wouldn't know what to do. We just Cena turns heel. We'd be like, "What is happening? Why is this happening?" You know.
It was shocking.
I mean, it's probably up there with Hogan's NWA heel turn. It's probably.
Oh yeah.
I think probably the most. If I compared it to wrestling terms, that would probably be it. That would be my assessment.
Except, right, like Jada looks like the puppet master. I mean,
so
she really
is she Kevin Nash or Scott Hall? Or both.
Ooh. I think she's Kevin Nash, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin likes to pull a string. I love. You know what? We're not going to do that to Scott.
Scott was a s***er.
Yeah. Kevin Nash and I have a running gag, broken beer bottles, and I won't even get into that story, but he and I share the same sarcastic ability to make fun of people while they think they're being complimented. And we did it together at a show, and there was a brotherhood formed after that. And I was told that I would have been allowed to ride in the car with those guys. He was like, yeah, you would have had to roll with us. So I was like, just because we're both just... I mean, there's no other way to explain it. Everyone else was crying. I was fake crying. He was fake crying. And we both looked at each other and be like, yep, you're thinking what I'm thinking. And
fake crying.
Like okay. Okay. You fine.
You mean like Cody Rhodes on Monday twice?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, you did say it. And I'm good for him. But a certain wrestling legend had passed away. And that particular wrestling legend wasn't very kind to myself or to Kevin. And we didn't care for him very much. But everyone else was acting like it was the end of the world. And it happened at a show we were at. And we both just nodded our head down, but we're both tall. And as I looked around to see who was not, he looked at me and the both of us kind of smirked at each other. And then he just kind of scooched over towards me. And he's like, I never really liked this guy, did you? I said, no, me neither. I said, I guess we'll just stand here and keep like this. But the two of us didn't realize we were so happy with ourselves. We didn't realize that there was a little Mark kind of guy. It was like he was a guy who brought everyone their jackets and stuff from the ring. Was standing there staring at us. And we both turned and looked at him. And we just kind of looked back and smiled. And I just said, thank God he doesn't have a beer bottle. He goes, yeah, he would have broke it off and tried to kill us. So after that, doesn't matter what story is like, I'll get a text or I'll get a comment on something. Hey, remember that time that guy almost killed us? I'm like, I still have the beer bottle. So I guess He's too cool for that. You know what? No. You know who she is? She's Eric Bischoff. I said it. That's who she is. No. She's Virgil. She's NWA Virgil. Ooh. NWO Virgil. Yeah, wow. That one. That bad guy. Yeah.
And if you're in wrestling terms, Virgil's pretty.
That's like the red shirt guy in Star Trek.
Yeah. You know, he's always going down.
He's going down. It's going down. So, you know, but hey, fellas, this has been an absolute blast. Where can people follow you and check you out?
For me, Chris Masters 310 on Instagram and Twitter is at Chris Adonis.
And for Trevor Murdoch here, at The Real T Murdoch on Instagram and Twitter. And, you know, I got a little blue check mark next to my name on Facebook, so you can find me on there, too.
He's verified.
Yeah, you know, I don't have
He's bona fide.
After 10 years, Facebook believes me.
And yeah, right. Who else would that be? Who would claim those photos? I don't think Adonis would ever be verified because they're like, no, man, that's not you. Especially when they hear his voice. He's got my daughter referred to his voice as a dying gorilla. I'll never forget that.
She's brutal.
And then every time he would speak, she'd be like, guys, do you guys hear a gorilla dying somewhere? Someone should really do so. It was pretty good.
But I was embarrassed to talk from that point on.
Yeah, she was seven. But
she's a heel.
Yeah. Hey, man. And of course, I'm on Instagram, Tyrus Smash, and then Twitter, Planet Tyrus, because the jerk who had Tyrus Smash wouldn't give it to me. So, but it's all good. We got to have different lanes to be in. And then, of course, my book drops April 26th, Just Tyrus. You can check it out at Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Nobles, Walmart, and hopefully a lot more bookstores everywhere. So, fellas, much love, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. And, of course, you can catch us all on NWA Power, which is on the Fight Network, and YouTube. Shout out to Billy Corgan and NWA staff. I'm sure they're going to be excited to hear this. And then we've got events coming up in June. We got a pay-per-view where I'm sure one of the three of us will be in the semi-main or the main, I would imagine. And
we usually are.
Yeah, one way or the other. and then we've got something coming up in Oak Grove, April 29th.
April 30th. I thought it was April
30th. It's a Saturday. April 30th, Oak Grove. Tickets still available. You can check it out at NWA Power. So for me, the fellas, this has been Three Wise Men. All right, fellas. Thank y'all. Appreciate y'all for coming out. For more podcasts like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. He's Trevor. That's Adonis. I'm Tyrus. Enough said.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. Congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.